Let's take a few moments now to consider the squid. It's an animal that's been on this planet for hundreds of millions of years. Today, it is one of the biggest drivers of the U.S. seafood industry. But the squid is also smart. It's a cephalopod, which is considered the most intelligent invertebrate on Earth. Joining us now is Sarah McAnulty, a squid biologist at the University of Connecticut. She's also the founder of the nonprofit Skype, a scientist. Sarah, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, and before we get to some of the amazing smarts of the squid, I want to find out how you got such a deep appreciation for squids. You were introduced as the world's most impassioned squid nerd on a science podcast, and I understand you have a license plate that reads Squids.
I do, yeah. I think I'm probably the biggest cheerleader for squid there currently is. Yeah, so I've been interested in squid since I was a little kid. I watched this National Geographic movie that I got out of the library, and they showed cuttlefish, actually, which are the relatives of squid, with this crazy passing cloud, it's called. It's basically when these animals will move a black band of color across their bodies to hypnotize prey. And I was about 8 at the time, and I thought that was the wildest thing I'd ever seen. And I pretty much switched that day from being super into dinosaurs to switching over to cephalopods.
And cephalopods is the group that the squid falls into, the group of animals. What are the other species in that group?
Yeah, all of the cephalopods are cuttlefish, squid, octopuses, and the nautilus.
And do they all have the same level of intelligence?
Not quite. So what we call like the coleoid cephalopods, those are the ones that you would be most likely to eat. So those are the cuttlefish, squid, and octopus. The nautilus still has a shell, so it's quite different from the other three, and it's not nearly as advanced. I think what's really, really cool about squid and cuttlefish and octopuses is that they are so advanced, but they're very, very different from us. So, for example, they are able to change color, and they communicate with that color change. So, for example, when reef squid are mating, they are able to signal to their mate that they like them effectively, and at the same time signal to other males that they basically are aggressive and to not come and attack them.
And they can also, I was reading, cut off a piece of their tentacle, let's say, that will then float away in the water so that they can lure their predators away from them.
Yeah, they have a number of really cool ways to evade predation. And another way they do this is they squirt out ink. So you may have seen like a cloud of ink, like a smoke bomb, but they also have what's called a pseudomorph. So that's basically a blob of ink that they make about the same size and shape as them so that a predator will attack the ink blob instead of them.
Do we know if this is learned behavior?
I don't think so. I think this is something that they pretty much come right out of the egg doing. And there's one other really cool thing that I'll tell you about right now is that pygmy squids, these squid are like less than an inch long. They're really tiny. They use their ink in addition to getting away from predators as a way of hiding from their prey. So if you've ever gone hunting, you'll use a blind to hide behind when you're trying to get your prey. And so they will put out a shield of ink and then pounce through the ink to attack their prey. So these animals are really, really advanced behaviorally, and they use all sorts of different ways to navigate their environment.
How social are they?
So some cephalopod species are super social, and others really spend most of their lives alone. So there is this one species of squid that lives off the coast of California. It's called the Humboldt squid. And these squid are about the size of a person or a little bit smaller, and they're really fierce predators. Their bite force is stronger than an African lion's. They're really cool animals. And so they will hunt in big packs, and they'll also flash white and red to communicate with each other. So these guys are really social. And then we also have the reef squid that live in Belize and all over the Indo-Pacific, and they will communicate to each other as well using color pattern and color change. And see, so these guys spend a lot of time in groups and eat in packs and spend a lot of time together. They also kind of evade predation by being in groups. And then there are octopuses who really only get together to mate. This is also true of a lot of cuttlefish species. They're pretty much loners. They're hiding most of the time, and they just come together when it's time to mate.
Now, they've all been around for like millions of years, right?
Yeah, so the first cephalopod emerged about 500 million years ago,
wow.
but they looked pretty different from the ones that we see today. So those all had shells, and they were basically the first animals to come up off the seafloor. So everybody was living, crawling around on the bottom of the ocean, and then they put a little bit of air in their shells and sort of lifted up like a hot air balloon on top of the seafloor.
So do you think that some of these impressive qualities are simply because they have had so long to evolve and they're able to develop these amazing features like being able to change color just because they've been around for hundreds of millions of years?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that has a lot to do with it because they've been around so long that not only have they had a long time to develop interesting stuff, they also have really been able to develop things that are different from each other. So you have squid that are living deep in the ocean that are developing like bioluminescent light producing organs. And then you have the shallow water squid that are doing their color changing chromatophore maneuvers. So even within the cephalopods, you have a lot of really unique and cool adaptations that these animals use to get by. And it's also cool, I think, for us to look at these animals because they diverged in evolution so, so long ago from us. But they're basically the most advanced behaviorally animals of their kind of lineage. So if you look at animals very similar to us, you can kind of understand what it's like to be a cat. You know, you
just look down on everybody,
like,
you know, all the time.
Yeah, and exactly. But I mean, you can like relax on a couch. You enjoy being touched. They enjoy being touched. But a cuttlefish or a squid, instead of just being head, elbows, knees, and toes, they're like arms, eyeballs, butt, torso. Like it doesn't, it's just bizarre from even looking at their like body plan. So these animals, they're so different, even though they're trying to like solve the same problems that any earthling is going to have to solve.
They don't live very long though, right?
They don't. The longest lived cephalopod that we're aware of is this deep sea octopus called Grimpetuthis, and they live about 15 years. You know?
Do you yourself eat squid?
So here's the thing. I was a vegetarian for 10 years, but I think a lot about how we can live sustainably, and eating squid is more sustainable than a lot of other fisheries. We've fished out a lot of the predators of squid, like bigger fish. And so what we have left is squid that are present in huge numbers in the ocean. They get to regenerate very quickly. If you have an animal like a cod, they take many, many years to reach adulthood. And a squid takes like months. And so if you're going to be fishing for an animal that you need to feed a huge population with, squid are really a great choice. So while I love squid, and I raise them here in our lab, and I really like to hang out with them, and maybe I feel a little guilty eating them, just because, you know, if you raise something
right
from day one, you feel a little bad. But I don't want to discourage people in general from eating squid, because it's really a good, sustainable choice.
What is one thing that you still don't know about squids that you hope you will learn in your lifetime?
Oh, man, that is such a good question. There's so much that we don't know about squid, particularly the cognition of squid is really cool. So squid are able to, and this also goes for cuttlefish and octopus, squid are able to match their background very well. They're able to camouflage really effectively, but they're colorblind as far as we can tell. So how are they so, so good at picking the colors to be in their background if they can't see color? I think that's super bizarre and super cool. And I'd love to know how the heck they're doing that.
Okay, well, fittingly, we have to end the segment with the squid dance. So I just want to ask you, first of all, what is that that we're listening to?
Okay, so the squid dance is super funny. So in Hakodate, which is part of a place in Japan, squid are like a big part of their culture out there. And so they have a squid festival every year, and they do something called the squid dance. I only know about this because when all of the squid biologists get together at like the International Advisory Council for Cephalopods, we all do the squid dance.
Really?
It's like very silly and fun. Basically, the dance is dancing different types of squid. So like first you put your hands in a triangle above your head, and those are like the kind of squid that we have here, like the kind of pointy arrow looking squid. And then you put your hands above your head in an oval, and those are the reef squid that I've talked about a couple times. And basically it's a celebration of the squid coming in for the squid fishermen, because they're going to be having a huge catch of squid at that time of year. And for a bunch of squid biologists, having a dance and a song about your study organism is about as good as it gets for us in terms of party songs.
So let's all do the squid dance, and people can see it at hereandnow.org. Sarah McAnulty, squid biologist at the University of Connecticut, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Come on.